Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
So it is Holy Trinity Sunday, and we just had a beautiful gospel. This little excerpt from the Gospel of John has been called the Gospel in Miniature. It conveys so much of the truths of the gospel all in one very small package. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him might not perish but might have eternal life. And we see God the Father, God the Son, and this saving act, and it launches us on this question about the nature of God and who is God. Now, I want to ask you, if I wanted you to explain to me who is God, you know, what would your answer be? How would you describe God? What could you come up with? And maybe if I wanted to take it a step further and ask you to explain the Holy Trinity to me, maybe, you know, explain the Holy Trinity to me without any error, okay? Without any heresy. And that, I think, would be a great challenge. I had the privilege of teaching men who want to become deacons in the church, and I present to them a number of different lessons, and we had some lessons on the Holy Trinity, and one of them was supposed to get up and give us a little synopsis on the Holy Trinity. And I told him he could only talk for 5 minutes, but he would be better off only talking 1 minute, because if he talked longer than that, he would surely get the Holy Trinity wrong, you know. The Trinity, the subject of tonight's Mass. God has revealed himself to us as Father, Son, and Spirit. One God, three persons. It is a complex and beautiful mystery. Now, what is a mystery? I've defined a mystery here at this pulpit before. A mystery is something we can know about. We can know some things about, but we can't know everything about. And so God has revealed himself to us in a number of different ways. In fact, the first reading tonight from the encounter between Moses and God in the book of Exodus. And God has revealed his name previously. And some of you remember this story of Moses in the book of Exodus. Moses has run away from a problem that he's had in Egypt. And he's out in the desert, and then he sees something. He has an encounter with God, a theophany. And God comes to him in a burning bush. Y'all remember this story? And Moses says, hey, look at that. Let me go over and check this out. So he walks over to the bush and he sees. And he hears a voice that says, remove your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. And as he stands there in this presence of God, God reveals a mission to Moses. He says, you need to go to the Pharaoh and let him tell him to let my people go. And so then he says, who are you? He says, you know, I'm God, the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he says, what's your name? Remember this story? What's your name? And so God reveals his name. And his name comes to us as I am, or Lord, okay? I am. And so the divine name, I am. So this is God revealing himself to Moses. Now the world, God had already revealed himself to a certain degree in all of creation. The first book of God's revelation is creation. We look out at the created order and we find our hearts and our mind moved to believe that creation did not create itself, but creation has a creator. And the creator we name God. Okay, so we have this revelation of God. And this revelation of God continues to unfold. As our capacity to know God increases, God showed more of himself to humanity. So God is revealed in creation, then God reveals his name, and then God sends his only begotten Son to give us the fullness of creation. So who is God? You could say, well, God is the creator. Well, who else is God? What's another way you can describe God? God is the creator. God is the savior. God is the one who redeems. Well, who else is God? Tell me more about who God is. God is creator. He is savior. He is redeemer. He is sanctifier. God does all of these things. How about this one? God is love. But God is love is not a unity or a singularity, I should say. God is love is not a singularity. God is love, but God is the lover, and God is the beloved, and God is the love between the lover and the beloved. Now, I had the privilege of taking an entire semester, a high-level graduate course on the Holy Trinity, right? And I had to read lots of books and papers and things, and then I had to write my own paper on the Holy Trinity. And at the end of that semester, you know, and I'm not saying I was the smartest guy in the seminary, but I wasn't the dumbest guy in the seminary either, okay? So at the end of this semester of studying the Trinity, you know, the safest thing that I could say without being a heretic is that God is love, he is the lover, he is the beloved, and he is the love between the lover and the beloved. God the Father loves, and the object of his love is the Son. And the love between Father and Son is the Holy Spirit. That God is in himself not a singularity, but a relationship of persons. That God is love. God is in himself family. God is relationship. And this truth, we're not going to learn this truth by going out and looking out at the sunset and seeing, oh wow, there must be a creator. Look at the beauty of creation. God must reveal himself to us in his fullness. And St. Augustine said that we have to expand our hearts so that we have a greater capacity to know God. Because God is beyond us, but God has called us into the mystery of his being. We can speak of the grandeur and the mystery of God because God has revealed these things to us. So I think about Superman. You know when Clark Kent goes to change into Superman and he's going to pull off his business suit and he's going to expose the S on his chest? That's what I imagine when I think about St. Augustine saying you got to expand your heart. You got to pull open your chest that your capacity for God would be increased. So we can think about who God is, creator, redeemer, love. But for us to get to know God, for us to enter into the mystery of who God is, we're going to have to pray. We're going to have to spend some time before God. This is something that we can do in the Adoration Chapel. This is something that we can do as we spend some time in silence, seeking the nature of God and the life of God, and that God is love, and what it means to love, to be in relationship. So, the Holy Trinity. You can tell me all about it now, right? Yes. I'm going to change gears for just a second. And I want you all, well, actually, I'm going to give you a little history lesson. And I give this little history lesson very often on Holy Trinity Sunday. Some of you probably remember it from last year. And some of you heard it last year and you've completely forgotten it. And that's why I'm telling you again. Okay. So this history lesson is about a priest, Catholic priest, who lived in about 1,700 years ago in the Alexandria, Egypt. Okay. And what was his name? His name was Arius. And what was Arius's problem? Arius's problem was that he thought he came up with a novel understanding of God, that he knew the Trinity, he had been taught the Trinity. However, he stumbled over the mystery of the Trinity, and he came up with the idea that, no, it's not a Trinity. Jesus isn't equal to the Father. The Holy Spirit isn't equal to the Father. Jesus is just the first and the greatest of all of God's creation. That was Arius's idea, and he taught that idea. And that idea gained some traction. People started believing that Jesus was not equal to the Father. And so then what does the church do when we have two teachings? One teaching is that Jesus is equal to the Father, the Holy Spirit is equal to the Father. And no, the Father is alone, and Jesus is a creation, the greatest creation. What did they do? These two truths cannot contradict themselves and both be true, right? It's called the law of non-contradiction. Two things can't be opposite of one another and both true. So what did the church do? The church, as she still does today, she called a council. And so all the bishops came together to face this Arian controversy, is what they called it. And when they faced the Arian controversy, they wrote a document that summarized the teachings of the church. And we've all are familiar with that document because we are going to recite it in a few minutes, okay? I want you to get your missalette out, please. Get it out, pick it up, open it up, and turn it to page 81, okay? Turn to page 81, and we're going to look at the document that was written in response to Arius's heresy, okay? And what do we find ourselves, what page do we find ourselves on? We find ourselves on the creed. And what does the word creed mean? The word creed means I believe, it means belief. And credo means I believe. And so we see the creed here, and it's a Trinitarian creed, and it has the expression in it, I believe. Not three times, but four times, okay? And so let's look at it. I believe in one God, Father Almighty, maker or creator of heaven and earth. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ. And it goes on to describe who Jesus is, equal to the Father. It uses a fancy word, equal, for equal, consubstantial. We get down to the second to last paragraph, and it says, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified. Only God is adored in Catholicism. We can venerate the saints, we can honor people, but we only adore God. And so Jesus is equal to the Father. We have God, the Father, we have Jesus Christ, and we have the Holy Spirit, all God. But then we have this last, I believe in the church. I confess baptism. Now, having looked at that, we can put that away for a minute, and I'm going to ask you to hang on, okay? Because I got a little more I want to explain, and hopefully this will make the Trinity a little more like, why is this important to me? Well, it's important to you because it's who God is. And the more we know about God, the better and the greater our faith is, the more true. In the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John begins with these words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It is this expression that the Word, who Jesus, is God. And throughout the whole book of the Trinity, Jesus is being seen as divine, and then the sending of the Holy Spirit is there. And what was the divine name again that was revealed to Moses? What was the divine name again? I am. In the Gospel of John, chapter 9, there's a story that we read during Lent. John is a great Trinitarian theologian. Not that Matthew, Mark, and Luke aren't, but John especially. And in John chapter 9, we read a story, and we read it every year in Lent. And it's about a man born blind. Some of you remember this story, a man who's born blind. And the story starts with a question. Whose sin caused this man to be born blind? Was it his sin or was it his parents' sin? And Jesus says it's neither his parents nor his sin. It's for the glory of God that he was born blind. Now, this man represents all of humanity again. Now, Jesus spits on the ground and makes mud and smears it on his eyes. And what does he tell him to do? He tells him to go and do what? Go and wash. Go and be bathed. Go and be cleansed. Go and be immersed. Now, that whole chapter is a teaching on baptism, okay? Now, throughout the Gospel of John, Jesus is constantly referring to himself, not constantly, but often referring to himself by a particular name. And what name is Jesus often referring to himself throughout the Gospel of John? He keeps saying, I am. I am. That's how, and the people are starting to get irritated with Jesus because they're figuring out he's saying that he's equal to God. So they want to stone him. This is one of the reasons that he's going to end up being killed, is for blasphemy. So he heals the man born blind. Y'all following me? Yes. He heals the man born blind. He bathes. He comes up, he's healed, and someone comes up to him and says to him, are you the one who was blind? And what does he answer? He answers, I am. You say, hey, you're not allowed to say that. That's the divine name. But when we're baptized, who are we baptized into? Into the body of Christ. Into the communion of love. See, your destiny and my destiny is to participate in the very life of God. We're not going to be the fourth, fifth, and sixth person of the Holy Trinity. Don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that you and I are baptized into Christ Jesus, form a part of the body of Christ, and are drawn into the communion of love that is God. That is your destiny, okay? If we have the great privilege of dying in a state of grace, we are going to participate in the love of God. And that, my brothers and sisters, kind of brings us back around to who is God? God is love. God is the creator. God is the sanctifier. God is the redeemer. God is the lover. He is the beloved, and he is the love between the lover and the beloved. And he loves you, and he loves me, and he calls us to participate in the very life of God's love.